Stephen Brody is joining me. He is the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce. And he is joining me. The Greater Burlington Partnership and the Chamber of Commerce have sort of been a merged entity over the years. Stephen is he's been actually the executive director since October. I've not seen him. He came in and saw me yesterday, and we talked a little bit about it. But the Chamber of Commerce is the original entity. We were just talking about history since I've been around here. Well, not forever, but close to forever. I remember. In fact, it was Cliff Dodson, who was the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce, who hired me in 1979 to be providing entertainment, public address, and also to be the master of ceremonies for the RAGBRAI closing ceremonies, which is how I got involved in RAGBRAI, and then I started writing the next year, and I wrote every year since. But that's another story. Once I find something I do, I just keep doing it.
And the rest is history.
The rest is history. Stephen, your background, you're from Illinois, the Galesburg area, is that right?
Yes, correct.
And, so what were you doing before you became the chamber director here?
Well, several years ago, I was the executive director of the Chamber of Commerce in Galesburg. And then after that, I took a role with Wycliffe Associates, which is a nonprofit ministry involved in doing Bible translation work around the world. And so I was the North Central Area Director for 6 states in the upper Midwest. And so I was doing banquets, fundraising banquets to raise awareness for the ministry. And it was Minnesota, Wisconsin, Illinois, Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio. And putting on 25 banquets in a 5-week period of time in both the fall and the spring. And I did that for about 4.5 years. And unfortunately, I became a victim of the pandemic because we couldn't have public gatherings anymore. And so my fall tour got canceled. And before you know it, they decided to eliminate the entire events department. And so I was looking for the next adventure in my life, and now here I am in Burlington.
You're back in Burlington, executive director of the chamber. So what exactly is the role? I'm going to guess a lot of your role is recruitment and basically trying to define what the chamber does, the advantages of chamber membership. Is that right?
Yeah, the wonderful thing about the partnership is that there's diversity of talent that we have. We have a wonderful membership and guest services manager, Cindy Henry, and she is the one who does a lot of the recruiting of members. And then we have other individuals dedicated to getting the promotion and the marketing materials to paint the picture. My role as executive director is sort of as the division head, is that I will have oversight over the activities, the functionality of the chamber to be able to provide guidance, to provide assistance, to provide direction as to how we are doing and lending myself. I mean, I will humble myself wherever possible. I even helped Michael Deere yesterday brave the cold weather, and we went to the recycler and dropped off a bunch of stuff and braved the cold weather. But, you know, I really enjoy the opportunity to get out and to meet with individuals, to meet with key stakeholders, to meet with business leaders, and to get a feel for them, because we're the voice of the business community. We want to be able to appropriately represent them, and we want to hear from them. So there is a lot of dialogue that takes place, and I want to make sure that I continue to do that as well.
And really extol the virtues and the values of being a chamber member, really?
Yes. Chamber membership, we can't expect that all of the businesses are going to be able to be focusing on everything other than their business per se. You know, they've got to make sure that their business stays afloat. So a chamber membership allows an investment in the community with us, so we can be able to come beside them. We can advocate on their behalf for what's best for the business community, not only in Burlington, but also in Des Moines and even in Washington. So we do have, we do have a government relations side, and we will go to Des Moines in a few weeks, and then there is a DC trip as well. So there are various facets that goes into being involved with the Chamber of Commerce.
Local business has taken the pandemic has taken a toll on a lot of local businesses, particularly when we had a lockdown period of time. Restaurants were dealing with no in-house. They were dealing with basically you could pick up and that sort of thing. We're still kind of in that sort of limbo land for at least the number of these businesses.
Yeah.
Some have pretty much bounced. I'd say some have bounced back. Some businesses have thrived in the pandemic. Those businesses include garden centers, home improvement businesses.
I'm sure.
But other restaurants and service businesses, they have had a mixed bag, and it has been tough. So trying to to do what you can to try to help those businesses out is really an important thing, isn't it?
Trying to promote and market local businesses, to shop small business, to shop local, and to encourage creativity and ingenuity as well. And so I know that from the pandemic, people had to start thinking outside the box as to how can we stay afloat, and coming up with some new ideas, maybe doing some delivery options, maybe going to some online things that maybe they didn't have before, but giving people the opportunity to now rethink and retool and using that even further as we grow out of this pandemic, they can continue to do this and go, wow, you know what? Actually, if we didn't have this pandemic, we may not have ever thought of doing this.
The other part of the pandemic is that in the pandemic era, frankly, downtown businesses and the downtown in general has thrived. It's the fastest growing population area of the city.
Yeah.
In fact, the number of condos and new apartments and new and specialty shops, material things that were basically dying in the old town are now thriving in their new variety, and we have more restaurants downtown probably than any city of our size.
I am really impressed by what goes on downtown. I'm impressed by the multi-use of buildings, right? Where you've got the businesses on the bottom, but then you've got the residential above.
Right.
I think that's fantastic, and more communities should invest in that. And that's a beautiful way to attract talent to come to the area as well.
It also is the youngest demographic that is the surging in population, which is a good sign for the future. I have a daughter that lives in downtown Chicago.
Yeah.
And she couldn't wait to, in fact, my other daughters they went to SCC, and then one went to Iowa, and one went to Iowa Wesley, and she didn't want to, she had what I called, George, I call it shake the dust of this little old town and move and get to the big city. But she says, you know what? She came back, it was a few years ago, and she said, you know, this town has really come alive.
Yes.
And I think that's really the key. It's got something, the finding is that doing the same type of thing. Oh, can you have two or three restaurants all in the same place? Yes, you can.
Yeah.
And they all do. They do. In fact, they play off each other. And I think that's really, the key. So building sort of a collection of businesses, and also helping those businesses thrive.
Yes.
And encouraging people to utilize the downtown.
And driving traffic to those businesses. I know as I've gotten to know the staff upstairs, Amy Moyner just does a wonderful job with Downtown Partners and coming up with creative ways to drive business, to encourage those businesses to thrive and to do events that will bring people into the community and to the downtown area. I'm impressed with a lot that goes on there. And I've started getting out there. It's not as easy being so cold. I'm waiting for it to thaw. But the times that I have gone downtown and gone to some of the restaurants and enjoyed eating there, it's wonderful.
You have, speaking of eating, you have the partnership's annual dinner, which was scheduled for the 28th. That has been moved back to the 18th of February.
Yes. Thank you for mentioning that. Yeah. Out of abundance of caution because of this surge of Omicron cases that we have had in the area, we've listened to our partners and stakeholders, and we thought it was the best thing to reschedule. So it is now going to be February the 18th. Still at Catfish Bend. And so if folks did not know that, thank you. Now they will know, because we would hate to have them all dressed up and show up at the on the 28th and there's no ball.
No, it is the 18th. Business after hours has been sort of a chamber, sort of a institution over the years as well. Chance to get in, rub elbows, and also to see and to talk to other business owners. As they said, the partnership, or not the partnership, but the pandemic has been an unequal, slayer of things, isn't it?
Yeah, but you know, at the same time, Steve, as I mentioned before, it's given folks an opportunity to rethink things. As we come out of it, do we do the same thing as we've always done, or does it give us a chance to dream? Does it give us a chance to say, hey, maybe we could do this better? Maybe we can innovate. Maybe we can try something different, because maybe we didn't have the event a year or so ago. So coming out of it and trying something new, it could go over well.
The biggest thing that I've seen is the trend towards local businesses establishing an online persona.
Yes.
And utilizing that to help sell items and to get people to utilize them. And also the sales tax revenues have also been... The online sales tax revenues also come back into the city as well. That all helps everybody.
Yes, yes. And I'll give you one other story really quick. My first day on the job, October 1st, was the Manufacturer's Appreciation Luncheon. And the Manufacturer of the Year was Sturzing's. And the folks over, Craig Smith over at Sturzing's, was just in awe at the response that he received afterwards from the publicity of being named Manufacturer of the Year. He started hearing from areas in Des Moines because it got picked up in the press. And so we talked a few days ago, and he said he is still getting inquiries from out of town. And it's driving interest in the brand name to be able to reach out and perhaps get the product into other markets. And so what a wonderful byproduct of being involved with the chamber and then being recognized for their success.
Sturzing's is a success story, and they faced a lot of trouble when they had some of the regulatory issues regarding trans fat, and they had to come up with – they had to – reinvent the product, and it took a lot of effort and a lot of time, but they really did reinvent the product to bring it back to the same flavor, the same texture that it had before. And I think that's a remark of a successful business, is one that can turn itself inside out and come out on top.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Stephen Brody, again, the Chamber Dinner, February 18th.
Yes, sir.
And the Southeast Iowa Days, that's going on in Des Moines. That is coming up, what, in just...
February 2nd and 3rd.
All right. Stephen Brody, pleasure welcoming you to our microphones, and we'll look forward to seeing you again, okay?
Thank you, Steve.